Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
This is a beautiful moment, and I'm not crying for winning an award. It's not about winning an award for me. It's about being able to shine light on all of the people, Tim and Trevor and Zach, and the entire cast and crew of King Richard and Venus and Serena, the entire Williams family. Art imitates life. I look like the crazy father, just like they said. I look like crazy father, just like they said about Richard Williams. But love will make you do crazy things.
That's an excerpt from Will Smith's acceptance speech for Best Actor Sunday night at the Oscars. It was a shocking evening in some ways, one that is still being discussed in social media and in the general media. But there were some Oscars handed out on Sunday night. What were they? Did anyone walk away with the Oscars, as often happens? We know Best Actor went to Will Smith, but what about the rest of them? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll talk about the Oscars with Pastor Ted Geese a little bit later, your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Then we'll discuss Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson on defining the word woman and when does life begin. Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center will be our guest. Joining us to discuss Sunday night's Oscars, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
Did any of the films that we've talked about here on Issues Etc. receive Oscar nomination? If so, how did they do?
Yeah, I think the big winner was the film Dune. This is the Denis Villeneuve adaptation of Frank Herbert's sci-fi novel Dune. This is a sci-fi epic. It's other planets and, you know, all sorts of spaceships and all the rest of it, right? But it's also a very kind of clever, smart, political, ecological. It's got everything right now that Hollywood's super interested in, but people have loved that novel forever. So Denis Villeneuve made the film. He didn't get nominated for Best Director, but that's probably because this is a part one, part two kind of a thing. So this is only the first half of two parts of the adaptation of that book. If you think back to the Lord of the Rings films, Peter Jackson didn't win Best Director until Return of the King was done in theaters, was successful, and capped off all three of the stories, right? To show that, you know, he really did accomplish something. So I think that probably Denis Villeneuve, if he does stick the landing with the second part of this, would probably end up with a Best Director nomination when that time comes. So it was nominated for 10 awards, including Best Picture, Best Makeup, Hairstyle, Best Adapted Screenplay, Costume Design, but then it won for Best Visual Effects, Best Cinematography, Best Sound Editing, Score for Hans Zimmer, and Best Production Design. So this is the film that walked away with the most wins overall. They're mostly all in technical category wins, but they have the most wins altogether. Another film that we just recently talked about was The Power of the Dog. This is the Jane Campion film, and it was nominated for like 11 categories. So this is kind of the flip side, because it only won for Best Director. And Jane Campion had also made the film The Piano. So this was her second nomination for Best Director, but the first time she won. And like kind of fitting into the direction that Hollywood and the Academy is going, I called this one because they don't want to not give the woman director the Oscar, you know, she was the only woman in the list. And as a side note, it's kind of interesting that for best director, somehow the members of the Academy could tell who a woman was and who wasn't in this particular case. So she won. And the other thing to kind of remember too, this is a meritocracy. They vote on each other. You have to be a member of the Academy to vote on it. And I would say that essentially by the time you've been nominated in one of these categories, every single person nominated in the category could win. There's no bad choice in a way for most of these categories. So the fact that she won, like Steven Spielberg could have won, like there's like these guys, all of these directors could have won and it would have been fine if they won because they're all great directors. But here the Academy decided to have Jane Campion as its winner for that Oscar for best director. There's the film Don't Look Up. We talked about that one and it was nominated for best picture, film editing, achievements in written music for motion picture, original screenplay, didn't win anything, totally shut out. Nightmare Alley, which we talked about. The last one was the one about the asteroid coming down to the, you know, going to hit Earth and destroy the planet, kind of an apocalyptic kind of a thing. That one didn't win anything. Nightmare Alley, which we just talked about, which is kind of this carny grifter, sort of like, you know, the dark side of the carnival kind of movie by Guillermo del Toro. It had four nominations, Best Picture, Achievement in Production Design, Costume Design, Cinematography, and it was completely shut out as well. A while ago, we talked about this Disney film, Cruella. This is the Cruella de Vil live, quote-unquote, live-action Disney film. It was up for two awards, Best Achievement in Costume Design and Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling, and it won for Achievement in Costume Design. And then also the other category, and this is kind of a favorite category, I would say, of mine, is the Best Visual Effects category. So No Time to Die, the James Bond film, was nominated in there. We talked about that. Spider-Man No Way Home, which is the gigantic Spider-Man movie that came out that incorporated numerous Spider-Men and multiverse version of Spider-Man. That was nominated in this category. Also, Shang-Chi, The Legend of the Ten Rings, is another film we talked about. It's a Marvel film, another one of these Marvel films about a guy who has a secret identity as being like this superhero martial artist in kind of a crazy world full of like strange monsters, et cetera, et cetera. So those films were all nominated in that category. But the one that the No Time to Die, our James Bond film, actually, that we talked about, did win for, it was for Best Original Song. So this is Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas, and they also performed for the Oscars as well. So that's kind of a rundown of the films that we actually talked about on Issues Etc. that were nominated and won some awards.
Were there any films that you watched last year that we didn't discuss about receiving nominations? And if so, how did they do?
Okay, so this is confession time. I did not actually watch all of the Best Picture nominated films. And usually my wife really wants to make sure, Michelle wants to get us watching all of them. And she was doing her level best. And I just, there were ones I just couldn't, I don't know, for a number of different reasons, couldn't get into. So the one though that we did watch that we didn't end up talking about was West Side Story, which is Steven Spielberg's remake of the film from the 60s. And it was up for 7 awards, but only won for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role. So this is Ariana DeBose, and she was playing the part that Rita Moreno had won an Oscar for previously, having played that part in that film, in the original film. So that's one that I watched, we didn't talk about, and Spielberg has won lots of awards. And he doesn't really need to win more, but he definitely does get nominated.
Are there any films that you were on the fence about seeing, but after watching the Oscars, how they did?
Yeah, you know, I think that I would actually like to see the movie Belfast, which is the Kenneth Branagh film. It was up for 7 awards, and it won for Best Original Screenplay, so Kenneth Branagh, who's the director and writer, won for his writing on that film. And it's also that one is kind of a personal story for him because it's like autobiographical. It's about the troubles in Ireland and being a kid in the midst of all of that. So it was up for a bunch of awards. Even like the best supporting actress was Dame Judi Dench, got a nomination for that. She didn't win, but she was, there was a joke, an inspirational joke telling her, do better next time kind of a thing. So she took it with aplomb. She took it really well. That one I think would be really good. It's a black and white film. I like black and white films actually, but the way it was presented was kind of like Angela's Ashes, kind of like a really maybe dour, I don't know, like a whole like kind of depressing dour movie with moments of sunshine. I'm not up for it. So, but I think now I could probably take a look at it. Another one is the film Coda, which this is the film that actually won Best Picture. So it was up for Best Picture and Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role and Best Adapted Screenplay. And it actually won all three of its categories. This is a film about a family where the mother and father are deaf and the daughter isn't, and kind of like struggling. They have like a boat and they're fishers, part of the fishing industry, and all the kind of stuff that goes with their family drama. The reason why I did not see it is that it's behind a paywall in Apple Plus or Apple TV Plus or whatever. And I don't have that streaming service. I've got Prime and Netflix and Disney Plus, but I can't have all of them. Like there's too many of them. Then you'd have to have Hulu and I don't know, HBO Max and all the rest. Like I just don't have all of them. So maybe now that it's won Best Picture, perhaps then it'll be available elsewhere. So I'm kind of on the lookout for a chance to watch that movie. I think it looks really compelling. And then the other one is King Richard, which is about the Williams sisters, the tennis stars, and really about Richard Williams, the father. And it was up for 6 awards, and it won for the Best Actor category. So that was Will Smith. And we'll, I'm sure, talk a little bit more about Will Smith. But that one, I think, would be also interesting to see.
We are here at the Oscars.
Yes. That's right. Where movie lovers unite and watch TV.
This year, the Academy hired 3 women to host because it's cheaper than hiring 1 man. It's fun, right?
Yeah, it's no, fun. You're right. But I'm still excited to be hosting, representing Black women who are standing proud.
Yes, and I'm living out loud. Yes.
And I am representing unbearable white women who call the cops when you get a little too loud. Okay.
Well, we're going to have a great night tonight. And for you people in Florida, we're going to have a gay night. We're your Oscar hosts. I'm Wanda Sykes.
I'm Amy Schumer.
And I'm single.
Oh, okay. Boy.
Regina. Wow. I mean, it's not the time for that. I'm providing the soundtrack for the next hour. Give it up for the incomparable D-Nice.
So, Ted, what did you make of the hosts of the telecast?
We heard all of them in there. I could really do without Amy Schumer. The Oscars are kind of this weird dichotomy. Like on the one hand, like some of the stuff that was in that is like very immature, actually. Like it's dumb as all get out and is not very kind, and it's its own problem. But then on the other hand, they're dealing with serious topics and they want to be taken very seriously. So there's this kind of weird mishmash of things going on there. The stuff about Florida and the Don't Say Gay bill, quote unquote, and all the rest of that was quite immature. And Amy Schumer is kind of like the center of the immaturity part of all of it, I think, more than the other two. I think that Wanda Sykes and that Regina Hall, they both have a lot of good chemistry, actually. And perhaps next time around, maybe it would just be the two of them, would be fine. I think that would be perfectly good. That Regina, though, had, there was a couple bizarre moments too, like where you see that also from that clip that this is a good example of the ideological things that are important to them. So this idea of the, you know, like race is a big part of it. Gender related things are a big part of it. All of the gay LGBTQ agenda stuff is a big part of it. This time around, the climate change stuff wasn't, you know, on the front burner. It was pretty much in the back burner. There was not a lot of that. But you see the things that are kind of important to them. Interestingly, that Regina, she had this bit where she had to do a quote unquote COVID test and brought up all of these Bradley Cooper and different actors like Timothée Chalamet, who was in the movie Dune, brought all of these guys up to under the pretext of doing a COVID test related thing. But it was all kind of like basically an HR disaster. It was human resources disaster. It was all like if you had reversed it all and had a guy doing this with women, it would never fly at all. So this is a cultural Marxist kind of thing, like where people fit on the totem pole. So she's kind of given a free pass to like goose all of these, like Jason Momoa and all of these actors up a little bit to, you know, like basically sexually harass them, which is kind of weird, right? So now I'm positive that she didn't write that for herself. That probably was a Amy Schumer joke in there, because not every, like they don't write all of their own jokes. There's going to be a writing room with people involved in that. So, you know, on the whole, it wasn't as terrible as it could have been. It could certainly have been better when it comes to these hosts. In the past, sometimes they would just have the one host. And I think that if they wanted to move forward, they could drop Amy Schumer off, and Wanda Sykes and Regina could be just an interesting pair, I think. They had some chemistry.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about Sunday night's Oscars. When we return, Hollywood was once brave enough to have people like Ricky Gervais host some of the award shows. He would mock Hollywood. Are they still so brave?
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live, weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Congratulations to Eric Baer, who was commissioned recently as the newest Navy chaplain candidate in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces supports and serves all military chaplains, active and reserve, their families, and the veteran population. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve, LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armed forces. We're talking about the Oscars. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. Ted, I can remember not too long ago when Hollywood was brave enough to have people like Ricky Gervais, the comedian, host their award shows, and he would mercilessly mock Hollywood. It sounds like they're back to taking themselves too seriously.
Yeah, you know, Ricky Gervais, you know, he had, I guess he was hosting the Golden Globes, and he went on about the Jeffrey Epstein stuff. And that really like skewered a lot of people in the room, and they all got very strangely uncomfortable, including guys like Tom Hanks, made all sorts of bizarre looking faces when that happened. And, you know, taking shots at each other and taking shots at things, like, there are actors that are comedians that will do that kind of thing. Interestingly, one joke that Amy Schumer had that was half funny was that she said in the in memorandum portion of the Oscars later that they would have the Golden Globes in the listed in the in memorandum portion of the, they didn't, but that was the joke, because the Golden Globes kind of didn't take off this year. They had problems because they didn't have anyone of African descent involved in the little oligarchy of ladies and men who are the critics that make the decisions about who wins what awards. So yeah, the Golden Globes was kind of like a little bit in the background, but that Ricky Gervais style, taking pot shots at people or making everybody squirm and be uncomfortable, that was not part of the evening, except when it came to Chris Rock, who had actually hosted the Oscars before by himself solo in 2016 and also back in 2005. He was brought on to introduce the documentary film category, and things got kind of wild.
You know who's got the hardest job tonight? Javier Bardem and his wife are both nominated. Now, if she loses, he can't win! He is praying that Will Smith wins. Like, please, Lord! Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it. All right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me. Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane jump.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay? Okay. That was a greatest night in the history of television. Okay. Okay.
So that particular interchange has obviously melted Twitter and other social media channels. But what did it say to you about the Oscars in particular and Hollywood in general?
Well, like, first of all, we had to kind of dig this up because the actual telecast, the audio dropped out. And there was a couple of spots where the picture dropped out, like, or at least it did in Canada. So, you know, you had to start to try to piece together what was going on. And it is a live telecast, so they have to be ready for anything, but I don't think any of them were ready for that. The film G.I. Jane is from 1997. It's by director Ridley Scott. It has Demi Moore in it. She trains to be a Marine, and in her training to be a Marine, she has like she has to get the, like, her head shaved, like down to buzz cut kind of a deal. And that was part of the movie. So this is what Chris Rock was referencing, because Jada Pinkett Smith has this very, very, like, close cropped, almost like shaved kind of head at the moment. And she's had kind of a hairstyle like this in the past. This is Will Smith's wife, and she, of course, was there. They were sitting together, and she had this big green dress on. So he made this comment, and she did not like that, did not take that as a joke. And partially because she's, the reason her hair is like that is because she has something called alopecia. Now, that's where, like, you lose your hair, or your hair gets very fine, or, you know, and this is a big deal for women, you know, men losing their hair. Guys have had to deal with this. It's not as pleasant for women. So the question is, does Chris Rock, you know that about her? Did he remember that about her when he was like, did that joke, was that joke off the cuff? Was that something he thought of on the moment? What's going on behind all of that? I don't know. So in my mind, as I'm seeing all this happen, I'm trying to make sense of what I'm looking at, I guess, to answer your question, and to kind of pick out, how did this all get the way it got? And it might surprise our dear listeners that, you know, I don't hang on the edge of everything that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith and their children do. But for some reason, I know things about all of this because it's all very public. And they've been married for at least, I think, 25 years or something. So they got married in their early 20s. And there's been a lot of stuff going on in their lives. But more recently, probably the thing that is, you know, like, people would remember is, you know, their son came out as transgender. Both kids kind of got into Hollywood, and the daughter is kind of a singer. And then there's all of this other stuff with this open kind of quote unquote open relationship that they have. Well, at the very least, they have a very complicated marriage, and marriage can be very complicated. They certainly have a very complicated marriage. And all of that's kind of like in the background, swirling around for Will Smith as he sits there. And he's also nominated for Best Actor. And, you know, like, Chris Rock kind of like actually predicts that he would win over and against a guy like Javier Bardem, who's an excellent actor too. But I mean, like, that's all kind of stuff that's floating around the background. And of course, you know, as I'm looking at it and as I'm trying to process this, as other people are, we're probably doing the same thing, and knowing that, no, for me, I knew that we would be talking about this. So I'm starting to think to myself, you know, how do we talk about this in such a way that doesn't hurt the person's reputation? Or, you know, how can we speak well of Will Smith in the midst of this very volatile and strange situation that he found himself in that night?
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the Oscars. When we return, the common take is that Smith's violence tarnished the ceremony and maybe even the awards themselves. We'll talk about that next. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Do you know a child with autism, dyslexia, ADHD, or Down syndrome? Do you have a student who needs an effective yet more gently paced education? We invite you to visit simplyclassical.com for a complete academic curriculum rooted in the truth of God's Word, the mercy of forgiveness, and the peace of Christ. From Memoria Press, simplyclassical.com, promo code LPR22.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Oscars with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. So, Ted, the common take on, at least on social media, is that Smith's violence there at the Oscars tarnished the ceremony, certainly, but maybe even the awards that were given out certainly overshadowed those who were being recognized by those rewards. What do you think?
I guess it depends. I mean, like, it's certainly, there were some people who thought maybe it was a publicity stunt of some kind. Like, that was one take that some people had, because the Oscars have been so, you know, losing viewership like crazy, even to the point that over the last couple of weeks, Jeff Schwarz and I were talking about, well, do we even bother talking about it? We didn't talk about the Golden Globes. Like, is there anything worth talking about? So some people would say, you know, this gets a lot of attention on the Oscars, where, you know, maybe it might not have had much attention at all. So this is goes under the category of no publicity is bad publicity, or you know, however that goes. There is this kind of bizarre problem that they have for themselves, though. Like, the problem is that, and this actually kind of gets at the heart of cancel culture in a lot of ways. Because they all voted on this, they can't change their mind. Like, there was something like maybe a half an hour between what happened with Chris Rock and Will Smith and the presentation of that award. So there's all these people sitting in the audience that know who they voted for. Like, all these people in the Academy, maybe they're not there in the audience, maybe they're sitting at home watching, because not everybody can be in the theater there. But they know who they voted for. So if they voted for him, now they're wondering this very same thing that you're asking. Does this tarnish the Oscars? And then personally, in their own hearts, do they now, what do they do about that? So it's a very peculiar thing. And I have a brief conversation with my wife about this. And I said to her, these guys, they know what they're going to say when they get up to do their, or they have an idea of what, and maybe they've practiced. I mean, these guys are actors, right? They have an idea of what they're going to say when they get up to have their acceptance speech. So if Will Smith has sat down and really played out and figured out what he's going to say when he gets up to have his acceptance speech, and he's been playing in this film, King Richard, this Richard Williams, who is a staunch defender of his family, warts and all, he's a complicated character. He knows that he's going to get up and say certain things. And then he's kind of stuck because Chris Rock has made some potshot joke about his wife. So what does he do in the moment? And my wife said, maybe you're giving Will Smith too much credit. And like, I don't know, but perhaps maybe it would be good to hear his experience, a portion of his acceptance speech, and then talk more about it.
Richard Williams was a fierce defender of his family. In this time in my life, in this moment, I am overwhelmed by what God is calling on me to do and be in this world. Making this film, I got to protect Ingenue Ellis, who was one of the strongest, most delicate people I've ever met. I got to protect Sanaa and Demi, the two actresses that played Venus and Serena. I'm being called on in my life to love people and to protect people and to be a river to my people. And I know to do what we do, you got to be able to take abuse. You got to be able to have people talk crazy about you. In this business, you got to be able to have people disrespecting you. And you got to smile and you got to pretend like that's okay. But Richard Williams, and what I loved, thank you, D. Denzel said to me a few minutes ago, he said, at your highest moment, be careful, that's when the devil comes for you.
So, as you said before, this is extremely complex. I do not begrudge Will Smith the Oscar, he earned it. I don't begrudge the Academy letting him keep it, because again, he earned it. That's their decision, they can rescind it if they want to. But when I was watching this, I got the impression that at least the room there thought that Will Smith's actions earlier that night were, while shocking, just fine. I thought the room was actually saying, because you can't hear a speech outside that context. And I thought that they were saying, we support you in what you did. Was that your take?
Yeah, I would say it is. People didn't storm out, or if they did, nobody knows if that that's not part of the story. Right? Like the publicists all like freaked out because of course they didn't know it was going to happen. And like, that's their work to try to smooth over, you know, whatever crazy things get said or happen or whatever. But I think people didn't take it the wrong way. And I think even Chris Rock didn't take it the wrong way. There's a couple things to think about. This is something I reflected on too, is in the fifth commandment, where we're not to hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help him and support him in every physical need. This is kind of played against the sixth commandment in this particular case, where, you know, the husband and wife are to love and honor each other. Now, clearly there's some other things connected to the sixth commandment that are a little complicated with all of this. But if Will Smith is in a spot where he has to defend the honor of his wife at that moment, and he gets up and he has a physical altercation with Chris Rock, well, he actually showed, now, this is where it gets kind of complicated. It's like, did he show restraint? I mean, he was in a room full of his peers. Was that restraining him? If that had happened in a different kind of a scenario or a circumstance, would the beating that he hit Chris Rock once, would that have been different? Could he have more hurt Chris Rock than he did? Like, was it kind of a wake-up call, hey, don't say these kinds of things? I guess backstage, Chris Rock said, because Will Smith had played Muhammad Ali in the past, had made some quip about that element of it. But, you know, and Chris Rock, he really regained his composure and carried on with what he had to do, which was to talk about the nominees for the best documentary. But he was taken aback by it. And comedians have to be able to deal with hecklers. And they know that sometimes they put themselves out there when they say certain things. And these are two black men. There's other complicated parts to this that, this is going to seem like a small thing, but it's kind of not a small thing, is that when it comes to women's hair, this is a really big deal in the African American community or the African Canadian community. Like, years ago, I lived in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and you might not think of this as a place with a big African Canadian population, but there is one there. And at that time, before gentrification, they were living in this area called the Godigen Street area. And I lived there because I was a poor student, and a poor white student that went to Nova Scotia College of Art and Design could live there. And that was okay because there was a history of students from that school living in that neighborhood. Otherwise, it was not really a friendly neighborhood to people who weren't part of the African Canadian community at that time. There had been high tension in the city of Halifax. So the local drugstore that I would go to had all sorts of hair products, and the African Canadian, African American ladies have way more struggles to deal with their hair and concepts of beauty and how all of that fits into everything than your average woman has, I guess. So that's also this kind of peculiar part of all of the whole thing. And at the very beginning, when that joke was being told, it didn't seem like Will Smith was that offended by it. But when he looked over and he saw his wife and he saw what Jada Pinkett Smith, the expression on her face, then suddenly something changed with him. And that's when he got up and carried on. Was his language appropriate? Was that the right setting to do it in? Could he have done it in a different way? Could he have sought to talk to him at a different time? Did it have to happen right at that moment? These are all things where the answers are probably yes to all of that stuff. Could it have been different? Certainly. It was wild. It was not something I expected to see at the Oscars that night.
We're discussing the Oscars with Pastor Ted Geese. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks to Craig and Susan in Grand Rapids, Michigan, Mary and Cynthia in Colorado, and Michael in Pinkerton, Ohio, for registering in the last 24 hours for the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's an opportunity for you to meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, Dr. Albert Moeller, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Dr. Pavi Rossinen, Bill Barr, Dr. Joel Bierman, and Pastor Will Whedon. Making the Case is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. Registration is $150 and includes three meals. On-campus dorm options are available. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385. On the other side, why did the directors of the Oscars allow Will Smith to talk so long?
Blessed be the God who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. This year's Making the Case Conference Hymn Sing will feature hymns designed to sing God's comfort into hurting souls and broken hearts. Lord, Thee I love, I walk in danger all the way. The King of love my shepherd is. Be still my soul, and a whole bunch more. You know you don't want to miss it. So I'll see you at Concordia University, Chicago, June 24th and 25th. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Sloth. Have you heard of sloth? Maybe you've heard it called one of the seven deadly sins. As Lutherans, we know that all sins are equally deadly, but what is this sloth? Well, there's more to it than just being lazy and not getting up out of bed in the morning. There's also a spiritual sloth, a spiritual deadness. If you want to know more about this and how to overcome the sin of sloth, pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness, where you'll learn all about sloth and zeal. To learn more about the Lutheran Witness, visit lcms.org/witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
They've met with the pastor week after week. He's taught them our precepts and Christ Jesus to seek. He shared the law of our God, which we strive to keep, the prayers, the creeds, and the sacraments deep. Now these young saints are right to partake in Christ's body and blood, all for his sake. A gift you are seeking to commemorate this? Ad Crucem has just what you won't want to miss. We've got icons, art, ornaments, jewelry, and more, greeting cards, crucifixes, posters, gifts galore. Your catechized friend will love what you give and treasure the gift all the days that they live.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Ted Geese about the Oscars. So, Ted, just one more thing on the speech, I think, Will Smith's acceptance speech. The directors let him talk for 5 minutes, and that's actually a record for Oscars acceptance speeches, beating the old one by a full minute. There was no walk-off music, as there often is. And the cynic in me says that the directors were just saying to themselves, this is gold. Will Smith just slapped somebody on live television a half hour ago, brought us a bunch of new viewers for that reason alone. And we're going to let him talk as long as he wants.
I'm going to say yes and no. I think that that could be part of it. But I would say overall, like, there have been some Oscar, well, it had gotten to the point where that music that they would cue up the orchestra and get you off the stage, they didn't really give people very much time. It was very little time. And even to the point where they would take the microphone and lower it into the floor, like, to get it away from somebody. So that's not really the case with this particular telecast. I would say that even, like, there was the Japanese director of this film, Drive My Car, which was also up for Best Picture but didn't win. When he got up to give a speech for a different category, they started up the music, and he actually basically waved the music off, and they stopped the music, and then he got to continue to talk. So overall, through the course of the, I think they gave people more time to say the things that they wanted to say. So I don't think that it was only specifically for him because it was this moment that was turning into pure gold. I think that they did want to give people more time to say the things that they wanted to say. So I felt like the speeches were longer this year in some cases than normal. But you're right. I mean, on the other hand, if we want to play good cop, bad cop with this, certainly this was dramatic. But it was also very strange too, because this was another one of those, like, watching it in Canada, there were these moments where they cut away, or they had, like, this, I don't know, just a thing that said Oscars up on the screen, because, I don't know, like, his nose was getting snotty or something, and that was going to be offensive. There's a lot of kind of weird, like, on the fly choices that they have to make when they're doing this. And it's in a kind of a way similar to like a big, like, NFL football game or something. You've got a director in the back, and he's saying which cameras to go to, when to cue this up, when to put the commercial break in, or when to start the commercial break. And he's got kind of a plan of what he's doing. So yeah, did they have to go off script? I'm certain that they did. Were they already kind of allowing for a little bit of play, a little bit of extra room when it came to people's acceptance speeches? I think they were.
The other thing that struck me is that Smith mentioned both God and the devil in his acceptance speech. And many probably heard that in the sense that maybe Denzel Washington might have meant it. But Will Smith is a Scientologist.
Yeah, you know, it's super, like, again, this is so fascinating because of how complicated all of it is. Denzel Washington won Best Actor in a Leading Role for his film Training Day back in 2002. So the film was from 2001. He won in 2002. He had been only the second male actor to win the Best Actor in a Leading Role Oscar before Will Smith. So the first one was Sidney Poitier, who was actually in the In Memoriam portion of the show on Sunday night, because he just recently died. So there's this kind of passing the torch, or they're in a small club now. So the things that Denzel Washington might have to say to Will Smith is going to listen to Denzel Washington. So if you're out there and you want to pray for somebody on the side, pray for that relationship between Denzel Washington and Will Smith, because I want Will Smith to believe what is true and what is found in scripture. If Denzel Washington is willing to talk to him about the devil, maybe he's willing to talk to him about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father. Maybe there's a chance to come back out of Scientology and into the Christian faith.
So Ted, also overshadowed by the event between Chris Rock and Will Smith was the kind of woke tenor of the Oscars. Is it getting worse, or is it settling down? What are your thoughts?
I don't know. Like, I think in some ways it's becoming institutionalized. So it's almost to the point where it's like at its eye rolling kind of stage, where you know, eventually, you know, people are going to just buckle or they're going to walk away from it. So hopefully any thinking person might just go, ah, this is all stodgy at this point. I think that the stuff that happened between Will Smith and Chris Rock, that is kind of a circuit breaker because it brings in a bunch of things that, you know, like, what are they supposed to do? The problem with a lot of the wokeism stuff is that it basically fits hand in glove with cultural Marxism and like certainly in an ideology that is anti-Christian. It has its own list of sins. But what happened between Chris Rock and Will Smith doesn't fit neat and tidy into their whole list of grievances. Like a couple years ago, there was the Oscars So White controversy, which got them, you know, thinking about how to make things different. Well, I mean, this is different. I would say that this whole entire Oscars, like even if you set aside the complexities of everything between Chris Rock and Will Smith, there was an overall tenor where it was, the Oscars were very African-American friendly, like on a number of different levels, which is fine. That's okay. That this was not something that was expected. And I think that that's what makes it so, maybe it could shake some of them out of that whole wokeness thing. And there's an interesting thing that happens too. Like the director will pan the audience, and you've got all of these actors and stuff in there, and they'll pan the audience when certain woke things get brought up. Like for instance, earlier on we were talking about Oscars and the Don't Say Gay Florida related thing. And when they panned the audience, Uma Thurman and John Travolta, who were in Pulp Fiction together, they were stone-faced. They weren't having any of it. And maybe they didn't know the camera was on them. Nicole Kidman, laughing it up. So they're not monolithically all on the same page when it comes to all of this woke stuff. And even in his acceptance speech, one of the strongest points in the acceptance speech was when he gave this picture of what it's like to be an actor and the kind of things that they have to deal with in order to do the work that they do, that they have to like take all this abuse, smile and pretend like it's all okay. And which means that there's a lot of actors, there's going to be actors out there that are not, they might toe the party line because they want to keep working. They might not agree with all of this stuff. So the hope is that there are going to be people who will push back against these ideas. Because these ideas are toxic, they are dangerous to society, they're all about power exchange. So you can have a host goose and feel up men as long as she's a woman. And if she's a black woman, because the black woman is higher up on the totem pole of power, the power dynamic, this stuff is toxic to society. And we're on a Christian program right now. So it's not in keeping with Christian values. It's not in keeping with Christian faith or with what we believe, teach, and confess as Lutherans. So the moments that shine through, if you are watching the show, the telecast, are the moments where people aren't into all of this stuff or God does get mentioned. And even if the person who mentions it might not believe it themselves, the devil gets mentioned, but the devil gets mentioned in a way that's true. And the weird part is that here he is about to win Best Actor, the highest honor he can receive in his community. And right at that moment, he's getting tempted as to what to do or what not to do when his wife is having a joke made of her. And does he cave into the temptation to lash out? Or does he not? How does he deal with dealing with her being mistreated in that way? It's very interesting. I would say that overall, it was a more interesting telecast than I expected. I went in with extraordinarily low expectations this time around. And I do really hope that something good can come for Will Smith in the midst of all of this. And the complexities of their marriage that involve infidelities and lying to each other, to themselves, to their kids, the struggles they have with their own children. There's the one has come out as transgender, the other one has got like a complicated life also. Like, they just like everyone else needs Jesus. They need Christian faith. They don't need Scientology. They don't need wokeism. They don't need any of those things. If you want to pray for something and you want to pray for Hollywood, pray for those guys. You can see that they really need it.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. And you can read his movie reviews at issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
The 175th anniversary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is the theme for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns by Issues Etc. guests Matt Harrison, Larry Rast, and Roy Askins. You can receive an annual print or digital subscription for less than $20. For more information, visit lcms.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Coming up in Hour 2 of Issues Etc., we'll go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382. We'll talk about when the Last Supper happened, deathbed conversions, and fasting. Then Roger Severino of the Ethics and Public Policy Center will join us to talk about President Biden's Supreme Court nominee on the definition of woman and when does life begin.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.